Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another fantastic episode of Wrestling and Whatever. I'm your host, Mikey Dangerously, and with me, as always, the host of Wrestling and Whatever, Jake Lowe. How you doing, friend?
I am fucking peachy keen. I'm loving wrestling.
Man, it got really good real quick recently. And I'm talking about, boy oh boy, if you haven't read the title of this episode, Summer of Punk, and it has arrived. We have CM Punk appearing on AEW Rampage. Now, that's AEW's Friday night show. And man, it blew everything out of the water. From videos that I've listened to and watched, it just sounded so deafening when the man stepped on stage. When that music hit, you couldn't ask for it. You couldn't prep that. You couldn't fill that in with fake audio. Like, that was real. Everything was
absolutely
real.
Even from him walking out and just the blaring audience to the guy crying there, which, man, it's just talk about emotion taking over. It's more than likely that guy's favorite guy to watch, probably maybe somebody that even got him into wrestling to begin with. But I it's funny you say that, Mikey, because I just watched a video earlier today. One of the guys that we interviewed here at Wrestling and Whatever, Bob Cook, wrestled for WCW and WWE back in the day. He shared a video of the backstage preparation and the board work. So what I mean by that is, if you remember back in high school when we had our shows that we had, how they had the tech crew, this was kind of like the tech crew of AEW. And Mikey, it was so cool. That right there, watching that all over again and how they did everything. I've watched CM Punk's entrance, his comeback to wrestling, probably about 20 times. I think that number's too low, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. I've watched the video quite some times. I have never actually watched a wrestling comeback video as much as I watch CM Punk's.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about it really quick before I throw you back into where you're talking about, like, what other wrestling, I mean, you just brought up that, like, wrestling returns videos have had that much impact, you know what I mean? Like, for return for the period and for the time, I mean, the only one that I could, man, recently think of coming back to wrestling was Daniel Bryan. And he was there. You know what I mean? He was an official role, but when he came back and wrestled and like he got cleared to wrestle, like recently, I think that was one of the biggest like pops.
The biggest pop I've noticed in a little while, besides CM Punk's, which is gonna top everyone's, is probably Edge at Royal Rumble when he came back.
I forgot about Edge. Yeah, Edge came back, and that was a huge pop.
That was a ginormous, is what they call a Road Warrior pop. I was so focused on Edge's comeback, too, that it actually had me tear up a little bit. Mm-hmm. The same thing with CM Punk's. I was almost like, I couldn't believe it's happening. As we are avid wrestling fans, CM Punk is something that wrestling has been missing, and most importantly, AEW has him. It's huge that he's there.
Yeah, and you know, there was always that 1% chance that it wasn't going to pan out well. Like, either CM Punk at any time was just going to be like, nah, I don't want to do it now, you know? But, man, he held true to his words, and that whole, like, I mean, the fact his whole promo is a quote, in a sense, because it's like, he told you, like, you know what I mean? He peeled back the curtain and he told you what was happening, what he's been doing, how bad he felt for leaving when he did. You know, like that type of stuff is really hard to make up. So, you know what I mean? Like, so to be authentic in it is, you know, it's cool. It's cool to just sit there and listen to a promo and be like, wow, you know, like, yeah, it's not a work per se, but boy, howdy, is it like it's good. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they should have just spent the whole, like, that wouldn't that have been awesome if that whole AEW was just him talking?
Yeah, or at least 40 minutes, 40 to 45 minutes of just him talking, getting not only, it would have been like a live podcast, really, when you think about it, but just a, him coming back, you know, a lot of people, I would have watched him talk for an hour.
Yes.
And just talking about what he was doing, how he felt about it. And he could do it. He could do it, a 45 to an hour minute promo. No biggie. He could probably go for about 2 or 3 hours. But I think what he did, the anticipation of him coming there, and everyone knew, but there's some people who don't really watch or read the internet or read the dirt sheets that don't know that he's going to be there. But man, knowing that he was going to be there regardless, and the rumor going around that he was there, it really made for a special night. And it's probably not probably, it is 100% going to be something now that I'm not going to say, oh, I'm busy, I can't watch AEW. I'm going to go out of my way to watch AEW tomorrow night. Like, no ifs, ands, or buts.
Yeah, because you said he showed up on Rampage. He's here to wrestle on Rampage. He's here to wrestle on, you know, Wednesdays. He said that. He said, I'm here to wrestle on Fridays, and I'm here to wrestle on every Saturday or Sunday for the foreseeable future. So, like, he's here. Like, him saying that, he's here. And there was never an issue with his, like him being like, oh, you know, I
like a part-time
softball and I gotta go and, you know, make sure I'm off for softball season. Like he always wanted to be there. So like now he's going to be there. Like there's no reason for him to not be there, you know. So
right. He's not at a place, as he quoted, which we'll talk about, a place that got him sick in the first place.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy. I'm happy for him, but most importantly I'm happy for myself as well, and other fans that watched wrestling in those tough times when CM Punk made wrestling great.
Yeah.
And made it watchable. CM Punk
made it palatable. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like so
I could eat this and not throw it up, you know,
like
20 minutes later.
he mentioned how All Out, it's him versus Darby Allin. You best believe I'm spending my hard-earned money and getting that pay-per-view.
That's crazy. I mean, that is absolutely like, and you best believe I might show up and watch it.
it's one of those things where like CM Punk back in wrestling.
Yeah.
You know he's training. And that's another thing too, Mikey, I wanted to mention when we were talking about CM Punk coming back. I watch a lot of videos when I can, blurbs, podcasts, interviews, any behind the scenes stuff. I always try to catch it because I always like to be in the know with something I follow and I love a lot, which is pro wrestling. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've watched anything more than not only his return, but the hype, the buildup, the behind the scenes stuff specifically for CM Punk's return and the aftermath of him with Tony Khan interviewing. I watched all of that. And from what I understand from what he had said in his questionnaire Q&A session with Tony Khan with a bunch of people, somebody asked him from – I can't remember the source, but they had mentioned that, you know, was this like Tony Khan just reached out to you and you said, yeah, I'll come right back now? He's like, he's always been interested in coming back to professional wrestling. He just he's firmly – believes in timing is everything and being at the right place at the right time. And he's been talking to Tony Khan since AEW started.
That's crazy.
And he's been talking to him about getting back into it. When's the right time? Pandemic. He said the pandemic was bittersweet, even though maybe for the choice, the select choice of people out there that would have got offended by saying, you know, pandemic, how is that a bittersweet or whatever, it's killing people and yada yada yada, but it's just his term, his verbiage that he used, saying, well, the pandemic happened, which I didn't want to return to nobody in here, I want to return to a full crowd.
That's what it was, that's all it was. And if he got this window right now where he could return with those fans there until the foreseeable future when something happens again, at least he got there and got the fan reaction. Because it would have fallen on deaf ears if he returned and it was an empty arena. Like, who is that for?
Nobody. We feed off that emotion from the audience, too.
Right.
That was raw, organic emotion that you don't see. And another thing, too, Mikey, I wanted to ask you before we go any further here. Now, he returned in front of a sold-out crowd at the United Center in Chicago.
Yeah.
Would he get the same response in any other place besides that arena?
I No, it's a perfect storm, and he would have known that. Right. He would have known to return in at Chicago. Yes, CM Punk is a big name, don't get me wrong. AEW's crowd is a great crowd to return to as well. The Marks, the Smarks, all those people as well. But yeah, I don't know if you think otherwise, but no, I think that was a perfect storm. I think Chicago is a tough crowd to get over. So if you're already over in one of the toughest wrestling crowds, then it's going to be fucking deafening. And it was.
I agree with you that Chicago was the perfect storm, but personally, I think even if he came back in Florida, Pittsburgh, any state, really, CM Punk is very well known all over, and I think even Chicagoans would have traveled there if they knew the rumor and innuendo was that CM Punk was returning. You best believe I guarantee that if they had that in fucking Utah, that they would have sold that place out. No doubt.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with you there on that side too. But I just think like they knew and they were just building it up and they're just like, let's go here. Is this a good time for you to want to come back, CM Punk? He's like, yeah, I'm feeling antsy. I want to get going. Pandemic's kind of semi-sweet over or whatever you want to say in the sense of like they're allowing people to congregate in big masses again. Mm-hmm. Boom, let's hit him. Let's hit him with a big guy. Let's have that pay-per-view in Chicago as well. And let's have his first opponent be Darby Allin with Sting because we've never seen CM Punk with Sting. So, like, there's something there. And Darby Allin and CM Punk are similar in the sense of, like, a rebellious, if you think about it, in a way. Where Darby Allin's more, to me, he's starting to be more like I said, this talking to you off screen. He's more like a Jackass boy, like from the MTV Jackass.
Right.
CM Punk was more like fighting against the man. Well, hold on. No, because Darby Allin has straight edge on his. He also has those tattoos on his knuckles. The straight edge. Both of them have the same attitude. So that's a good like that. I mean, you know what I mean?
Great match. Good,
yeah, I think that's
absolutely a good
chemistry.
I think it was a good pairing that they have for them for his first match back, and considering how over, not only how over he is, but his style of wrestling, him and Punk back and forth will be probably one of the top matches of this year, if not the top, considering if Punk has been practicing.
Yeah.
You know what
training,
I mean?
All still the training. He has to. I think when wrestlers are done wrestling, I think they still hit the gym a certain way.
Yeah.
And then CM Punk was off wrestling for the longest time, but he did dabble in UFC. All those guys who are in professional wrestling, there is just a tick in them where they have to go to the gym all the time. Like, I think you, Jay Glow, would be a perfect professional wrestler because you're going to the gym after work all the time. And it's just instilled that, hey, I have to go. I have to do this. I have to, you know. And I think that's what CM Punk was doing. I honestly think, like, he just did it. Like, did he get sour on the sport of professional wrestling? Yes.
Absolutely.
But that's where he was working. And I could understand where he came from that point where, like, I'm not the bad guy. They're the bad guy type of deal. You know what I mean? That's right. The point where he was paranoid. But, like, honestly, you're going to make me go work and I'm going to be sick and you guys aren't going to do anything about it. And you know, the joke of a doctor that you have saying that I'm okay or you're going to throw that shit on me, a Z-patch, and say, you know, go out there and do it. Like, I don't know. Like, I would be sour on it too, you know? Especially if it started making me question my own questions, if that makes sense. It starts making me question my own like
am I a bitch? Should I just suck it up and just go out there and do it?
Oh, I must be an asshole. If someone else is saying I'm an asshole, then maybe I'm an asshole.
If they did to Punk back then and did it to him now, if he was still wrestling, that would not happen.
They wouldn't have done that. Yeah. No. Absolutely. And that's so crazy how many years? 7 years?
Yeah.
Of this, you know, wrestling have kind of like just kind of evolved, at least better. CM Punk was a martyr, you know. CM Punk did what CM Punk did so that the other people didn't have to go through that. And they shouldn't have to. Women, men, any of the people that are in wrestling right now shouldn't be, you know, and I feel like that also is a nice, I know a lot of people don't have that affordability in their life now, but I think that's also a nice, like, kind of way of thinking life now for any job. You know what I mean? You shouldn't be the slave for where you're working, because, like, they could just hire another guy. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just try to, like, you know, live your life the way you want to live it without worrying about, you know, like, without the corporate man taking you down, if that makes
sense. Yeah, absolutely. As anyone shouldn't. And I think CM Punk in that type of an aspect was ahead of his time. Now, a lot of people will say he's a whiner. A lot of people will say, oh, he got paid all these $1 million and you're whining. You're, first off, you're still a human being. And secondly, any job, whether you're making millions or dollars, just, you know, $10 an hour, you still come first. You come first.
Yeah, you your come health.
Because if your health's not good, you won't be there to perform.
Right.
Or to work or whatever. So, yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, and it makes sense. But it's just – I didn't want to see CM Punk come back to WWE. I think, like you said, AEW is the perfect storm. It's I don't want to say it's a Fortune 3 or 500 company that AEW is, but AEW, they have the money backing it. They have the superstars there that they have. It gives you that feel. It's like a mixture of WWE and their star power when it comes to being everywhere, TNT, being all over. They're all over baseball stadiums, football stadiums, like when it comes to like the promotion-wise.
Yeah.
They're all over. And it's kind of gives you the mixture of like the indie feeling and the corporate aspect of WWE. So I personally think he picked the best place to go to. What better place to go to, especially some place that everyone is comparing to WWE, and they're always saying, oh, it's AEW versus WWE, AEW versus WWE. If anything has started and cemented that quote of saying WWE versus AEW, this is it.
Yeah, and what they can do with him is, like, you know, with everybody they have, with all the talent he could work with, I think – The sky's the limit, you know. CM Punk's name is written in the stars, and we really can't. I don't know. We can't make assumptions. Like after this, you know, the only thing that I would think, and we could do that now, because then what I want to do after our break, which we can do after whenever, is we could talk about, you know, do some pull quotes and kind of deep dive into that. But let's talk about CM Punk's first match he's going to have here, right? It's going to be against Darby Allin and Sting at All in Chicago. Now, I know what we want. I know we want CM Punk to win. But what would fucking throw a nice little wrench in there? You know what I mean? Like if Sting got involved?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, you know, Sting hits CM Punk in the back of the head with a baseball bat, shit like that. Just if CM Punk's not going to turn on the audience, which, you know, maybe in due time he will, I definitely think they could start to make Sting and, you know, Darby Allin a little bit more edgy and right. Just like take out everybody else's super. Because I don't know where Darby Allin is right now. He's like a cleaner. Right?
Yeah, he's very neutral. Here's my thing, Mikey. So I think you can't have CM Punk lose his return match. That's something WWE would do. You can't have him lose against Darby Allin in Chicago on his first match back for 7 years. That would be insane. You can't
hurt the stock of CM Punk.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, his stock's really high. I don't think that will hurt it, but it will make fans question, like, okay, so he's going to lose his first match back in over 7 years.
Yeah.
Really?
And then you got to think, you know, you want to accentuate – in a sense, if you think about it like this, you want to get the value of Darby Allin up, which you're trying to with Sting. And then it's like, wow, you got all these guys, like, you know, Christian came back like not too long ago. Big Show's there. Mark Henry's there. Like these, you know, these are big, you know, quote unquote names. And Sting has been there, and Sting's a big name. And then you have, like, you know, now you're tucking them in the back, you know, like you're CM Punk, you know what I mean?
Right.
So like there could be some, you know, faux real like animosity if they wanted to do that, where, you know what I mean, where like Sting is just like, nah, man, yeah, you're CM Punk, but I'm fucking Sting, you know?
Right.
And But what you want to do in matches is you want to get the other guy over, even if CM Punk does win. You want to make Darby Allin as great as he possibly can before he does lose, just so it brings up his, like, popularity. And I think they can do that. But I honestly think if they made CM Punk lose straight out to Darby Allin, I don't think it would raise Darby Allin's popularity at all.
It's got to be a 30-plus minute match. That's the thing, too. This has to be one of the finishes where they're both literally fucking just shit in the gas tank. Like, there's nothing left, and they're both going at it. Mm-hmm. This guy hits this. This guy hits the coffin drop, 1-2, kick out, go to sleep. I'm not sure if he's going to have any other new moves he's going to think of, but have him sit, hit something, or maybe if he brings a new move in and you can't tap him out. It's got to be a clean finish, in my opinion, and that's another thing too. CM Punk has to win this match, but the thing that keeps going in the back of my mind is what he said: "Is I'm coming here to help people. Yeah. I want to help the young talent with the same ambition I had 10+ years ago, and yada yada yada." And it's one of those things where it's like, what do you do? Do you have CM Punk win? You have to, but. You can't squash Darby, like you said. So the only way I could look at it is having a finish where they're literally both, if there's blood involved, so be it. But there, it's got to be a brawl for all. Not talking boxing gloves either. I'm talking like you have to have a legit fight between these two guys. Sting can't get involved. He shouldn't. But to have, you know, something happen to the point where it's like Sting's involved, but just as a vocal coach. Right. I think it's going to be a very good match.
I think a nice, like, is the match going to be no holds barred? Like, you know, usually there are, like, technically right rules for AEW matches, but not really. Like, if shit happens, it happens. But, like, you know, they generally kind of go and begin and end in that squared circle, right?
Right.
But, like, I don't know. Like, I'm just saying, not to be that dickhead, but I think, like, a nice screw you would, again, be just Sting getting involved. Not in the sense of, like, maybe him, like, turning on Darby, but, like, if they've got this whole little Sting thing going, like, with him and Darby, well, then, like, you know, if he sees that Darby's getting his ass kicked, well, Sting's got to step in to lay the foundation for that next match because, yeah, he's going to get the younger people over, but there's also people he wants to have a match with. And I believe Sting and CM Punk would be interesting.
Right.
I think CM Punk and MJF would be interesting. I think you want to save that Omega match for after, you know, a couple, him going through a couple of the other guys, you know, that's in, you know,
like a Revolution type pay-per-view. Yeah,
exactly. Just so that it's built better, because then you're going to have CM Punk win that match.
And now here's the thing too, Mikey, is not to get off the CM Punk topic here, but another match that I could see definitely happening, that AEW is doing it right. That's all I could say. My brother-in-law, Robert, would say the same thing. See, AEW is doing it so right. But my thing that's happening that's coming up soon is this recent pay-per-view for NXT, Adam Cole wrestled his last match for NXT WWE. So if they bring him in and he could be with his, you know, girlfriend all the time in Britt Baker, I personally think that Adam Cole versus CM Punk is a match we need to see soon, too. And that's just something that's going to happen. It's definitely going to happen.
You bring back AJ Lee.
Yeah.
Have that intergender match there, you know?
I don't know if AEW's there just yet for those types of antics. It could happen where she's a manager out for him or vice versa. Yeah. If it's Britt Baker versus AJ Lee. I don't know if AJ Lee's actually going to come back to wrestling, but this may spark something back for her to come back, but...
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be a time and a place for everybody to make their return. And I think now everybody after CM Punk is – and it's so weird because everybody before CM Punk to me right now in AEW is like, eh. It's like CM Punk, right, is like that tipping point, but like the peak. And then you had like everybody that tried to join that made a big deal before where it was Christian, Matt Hardy, and – And then you just have to think about those guys now that are getting pushed on the wayside because CM Punk came back. Hopefully those people are just like, oh my God, CM Punk, you know, we're fans of wrestling as well, even though we work in the business. Like, yes, let's
see. And they worked with them.
Right. So, I don't know.
Here's my thing. Here's my thing, Mikey. So I think CM Punk coming back, just to add on to what you were saying, where the wrestlers were like, you know, they're also fans and they're like, oh, great. Phil's here, as they call him. That's his real name. So CM Punk's here. We're going to, man, maybe this will make it more interesting in the back where guys are going to be maybe working a little bit harder to try to get up to where he's at because he's one of the biggest names in professional wrestling.
Has to be, right?
So you have to work towards that. Yeah, Christian Cage, you've been in wrestling for years, decades. But this is CM Punk. He has been over like Rova, and you need to work up to that. Now, he's the TNA World Heavyweight Champion, and that's all good and all. And you beat Kenny Omega on AEW, which is – I still can't fathom it. But it's one of those things where it's like, okay – who else do we bring in? And I don't think anything else is going to beat that CM Punk pop in AEW ever. Adam Cole maybe, but not, I don't know. And here's another thing.
I think it'll match it for sure. Adam Cole will. Absolutely. You know, I don't think it'll beat CM Punk, but it'll get close to it because CM Punk was a, you know what I mean? Like he's been gone for 7 years. Like to the point when you have a wrestler's name being chanted in an arena, when he hasn't been on the fucking card in like over a year, like they're not, you know, no offense to Bobby Lashley. If he ever leaves, like no one's going to be chanting Bobby Lashley's name in the audience. You know?
No.
Sheamus, you know what I mean? Like who? Right?
No. Yeah. No. Fuck him.
It's CM Punk. It's like,
I don't revolutionary.
Know. Yeah. It's like when they still chant ECW, like it's just,
yeah.
Boom. Perfect time right here and there. That's it. You know what I mean?
CM Punk returns at any wrestling promotion. He's getting that. Yeah. Because of what he brought to wrestling, he changed wrestling for what it was when it was in the shitter. And he made it entertaining. He made it fun to watch. He was really good. And he also gives you that feeling like he's one of us.
Yeah. And yeah, like he's doing it for you. Whether exactly. Like, you know, and he could be like laughing about it in the back. But like,
yeah,
he gives off that persona, at least in front of the cameras. Like, you know, legitimately, I'm invested in this.
He's like, I'm one of you guys and I'm speaking for you. As this quote would always be, he's the voice of the voiceless.
Yeah. And, you know, we're going to take a quick commercial break. But before we do, because it's probably worth this amount of time, let's review SummerSlam very quick. That last, I guess, Becky Lynch coming back. Huh? That was pretty interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone said they got as big of a pop as CM Punk.
And then the big thing at the end, which was Brock Lesnar coming out challenging Roman Reigns on SmackDown. How about that look for Brock Lesnar?
He looked like fucking She-Ra from Mortal Kombat.
Wow, that is a callback. All right, folks, we'll be right back. When we come back, we'll talk about a little bit more with the CM Punk Nation.
Do you hear that? That's the sound of an ice cold Loco coffee. I always have one before I record wrestling or whatever because it's that damn good. Start feeling good about your daily coffee consumption. Loco Coffee delivers benefits that go above and beyond the average cold brew coffee and is geared towards fueling your active lifestyle with all natural, no BS ingredients, and zero added sugar. The added coconut water and maple water provides electrolytes and antioxidants for an enhanced, clean coffee experience. This is the perfect pre- and post-workout drink. Don't forget to use our promo code WRESTLINGWE for 10% off of your next order off of any Loco coffee you purchase on lococoffee.com. Welcome back to Wrestling and Whatever. That was our word from our sponsors, Loco Coffee. You could get 10% off of your order of WRESTLINGWE using the code. You could use that at the end when you're getting your total. Also, feel free to reach out to Boosted Shades where you could get 15% off with that same code, WrestlingWE. They actually have some new shades out and available for you if you guys are looking to get a new pair. quick story for that. They have a new pair of glasses out that are, they look like, it's so funny. They're called Honey, I believe they're called. It's something like Hot Honey or something along those lines. And it's funny because it feels like they're connecting in with our Loco coffee, because they just had that honey oat milk coffee that just came out.
Yeah, cold coffee. Cold
so beer. If I really, really wanted to be a sponsor boy here, I'd order the glasses and another case of the honey and take a picture with it and put the combo in there for you guys. But I just thought it was funny how they really correlated with each other there, and they have no idea who each one of them are. But yeah. So feel free to hit them up, guys. And me and Mikey here, we're going to come back and talk about the illustrious CM Punk return to AEW. Before our break, we just quickly went over SummerSlam, because that's really all we needed to give into it. But Mikey, before we talk about CM Punk, there is actually one thing I wanted to talk about from SummerSlam. And it's not the Brock Lesnar return. And it's really kind of about the Becky Lynch return. But they squashed Bianca Belair.
Ooh.
Squashed. That she is an absolute freak powerhouse.
Yeah.
She is very good. And it just goes to show you that you go watch something from AEW where they build their superstars. There's really not so much of a foundation just yet, because they're still working out the kinks. They're still a kind of a new company. They haven't been around since, you know, the 40s and 50s and 60s. But you have a company like WWE that's been around forever. And they have these superstars that they have literally all over TV, all over the internet, just everywhere. Bianca Belair, a bona fide freak athlete who is really good at what she does and was such a powerhouse. And you have Becky Lynch come back and beat her in less than 10 seconds. What the fuck?
Well, I think they, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, they got Becky back, and Becky was a big deal. But again, Becky was a big deal. Like, is she still, like, coming back? I mean, is she straight fire?
Apparently. That's the thing, though, Mikey. This wasn't even supposed to happen. This happened. This changed last second. Becky Lynch was back. She was on the back the whole entire time, and she wasn't, from what I read, it could be wrong, but they said that she wasn't supposed to return. But after CM Punk's stuff happened, and that got over like Rova, and they said, okay, Becky Lynch, you're gonna come back SummerSlam. Becky Lynch, this is the new thing now. You're gonna beat Bianca Belair with one move, or two moves, I think she had, and then pin her 1, 2, 3. And then you get the belt back. Huh. Look at that. What the fuck? What's that all about?
Like, if that's how, like, janky the WWE ship is right now, you know, the Pirates best be getting off that boat, because I think it's sinking. You know, if they're doing that, like, that quick, not giving Bianca any, like, you know, any, like, just awesome match to have with you know, because fucking... Sasha Banks just came back. You know what I mean? So it's like you're going to have this pretty decent, cool match with her. And then there's an audible because Becky Lynch is just backstage because Steph is there. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Oof. I don't get it. And that's their WWE is doing what they didn't do back in the day, and that is worry really too much about what the enemy was doing.
It was always the other way around. WCW would do the reactions now of what WWE would do, but now WWE's doing the reactions of what AEW is doing, you know? Like, so they have to, like, if they just ignored it and didn't bring up the whole, there was another thing where they brought up the whole, like, you know, wow, like, listen how loud SummerSlam is and all this stuff. I barely hear you, you know? Like, if you didn't say that, I wouldn't think that you were watching AEW trying to get like a cheap rib at CM Punk.
They're trying to make us think. It's like they're doing what like Fox News and CNN does. They think for people. That's what the news does. Mm-hmm. And I feel like WWE is doing that. Yeah. And it's, I don't know, man. It's sad because me and you have watched wrestling for WWE for forever. And they were the epitome of like, okay, and how everyone else thinks, this is the place where you want to go. Right. You want to work there. You want to be there. But it's just, it doesn't seem like it's wrestling anymore. It doesn't seem like it's entertaining anymore. And AEW is just literally blowing them out of the water. Yeah. Even, and it doesn't have to even be returns with CM Punk. It's just the product and how the wrestlers there, they have the creativity. They have the power to be creative. And they, if anything is, you know, they bring to the table and they say, hey, I want to do this tonight. You know, obviously they all talk it over and they figure out the happy medium and what actually would be best. But they have so many heads there that work together that have been in the business for so long that it seems like WWE isn't doing that anymore.
No, I think it is a bunch of writers in a writer's room. And then, you know, you just talk to the actor who's going out for that, you know, match. And, you know, hopefully things work out well. Where AEW, like you're saying, it is like fly by the seat of your pants, but everybody's enjoying it. Everybody's collaborating, and they're saying, I think my character would do this, rather than I'm going to read the script and make sure I get it right. And
right.
Go out there and not flub.
And it's what we've talked about in previous episodes, too. It's just a lot of improv for AEW, which sometimes is perfect.
Right.
Most of the time, really. But yeah, it's sad what they did to Bianca Belair, because she could literally be a powerhouse. I would love to see her and Shayna Baszler more, because Shayna Baszler is just the bona fide badass.
Yeah, and they're throwing her in a tag match with Nia and versus almost superhero Nikki and
fucking Rhea Ripley
in this past Monday. That's where they threw Rhea Ripley and Shayna Baszler. So they're just in tag matches.
Fucking throw up.
With Waste of Space partners, might I add, in you know, Nikki Cross and freaking Nia Jax, who can't do a move without getting winded. But that's just my take on where they're going with their talent pool right now. Right. Well, let's get out of that thing and let's talk about. So what I did, folks, is I pulled up some quotes from CM Punk's recent promo, and I kind of wanted to just deep dive a little bit more into them, you know, maybe talk a little bit more about like ones that kind of maybe this hit for me and say why, or, you know, this type of stuff. And these are in no particular order. I just pulled these quotes out from what he was talking about. And I feel like they're interesting to just discuss with each other, because you can kind of like deep dive into maybe what CM Punk was thinking. You know, like just different things that might be going through his head. So one of the quotes, again, no particular order. The one that really stuck out to me was that because I even ended up quoting this to my brother. I was talking to him about it because I was like, wow, this is like CM Punk's back. And I started texting him about wrestling. Usually it's the other way around. He texts me and I, you know, try to keep up with the conversation because I'm just like, oh, it's interesting. But like, I'm watching this and this quote was like, you know, he said, in 2005, I left professional wrestling. August 20th, 2021, I'm back. He said in August 2005, he left professional wrestling. Then August 20th, 2021, he's back. He kind of glossed over a significant part of his career, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Which is funny because a lot of the marks and smarks online, including one Booker T, had mentioned that, you know, you're not that big of a deal. Who brings ice cream bars to a show like that? Come on, man. And it's just like, it's one of those things where a lot of people are saying that he's just bitching, complaining, and all he did was talk ill about WWE. He didn't mention him once.
he said two things. The one other quote I have, which we could talk about later, but it was basically about him. He didn't want to be in a place where made him sick in the first place. We kind of touched base on that in the opening of the show, but there's also a quote that kind of goes along with his thought. But again, he didn't say anything about WWE. If you wanted to read between the lines, yes, he's talking about the former company he was working with, but he didn't like stick at it and name out people and say, you know, they're worthless pieces of garbage and I hope the whole company fails and all this stuff. He's just explaining his actions from point A to point B to where he is now. That's all he's doing. And I think he did it eloquently. Like, You know, and I'm not trying to suck up to the man, but like, I honestly right. think he discussed a really hard problem in his life where he could have gone into details and he could have been 100% right in doing so because it's his side of it. He's not lying. And, you know, and go like that. Or he could just, you know, just say, I lost interest, you know, from 2005 to 2021, I just wasn't interested. Now I'm back. Like that's, it's just such a interesting thought to have. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he was pretty much almost dead inside with it, you know?
Right.
And now he's going to enjoy it again. So.
And it's funny that he says those dates too, because when he, you know, debuted at WWE, WWE wasn't in a bad place then. They were getting into the bad place. Yeah. They were getting into, I think he debuted in what, 2007? He was in ECW, and then he went up to main roster, and that's when he started to flourish. But like, CM Punk has not always been a household name, but for indie fans and wrestlers and people that have followed him throughout his whole career, he's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
But another thing, and I know this isn't a quote that we had, you know, peeling back the curtain here that we have in our notes, mm-hmm. but one quote that he said that I want to add here is something that got me, and that's really based off what we just said. And he said, I feel you, Chicago, and I hear you, Chicago. That's what I've heard for 7 years. And then that's when he said, I heard you. Like, this guy wasn't just sitting back.
Yeah.
Professional wrestling was his whole life. He was probably thinking about that in the octagon too when he was fighting. Yeah. Like, I love professional wrestling. I love fighting. I love the whole art of jiu-jitsu and everything that goes into being a mixed martial artist. But like, wrestling is CM Punk. CM Punk is wrestling. And it's one of those things where, you know, he heard him. Like, every place you go to, if it's not the what chance, it's the CM Punk chance, especially in Chicago. So that right there, it's like him saying, hey, guys, I haven't skipped a beat. I'm still who I am. I'm still, you know, here. I'm still the same guy. In his old documentary, he said that, you know, his friend said he doesn't need the money. He could live off of $20 and he could make it work. It's, and I mean, yeah, money, he's going to take the money, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where he loves wrestling, and he heard us. He heard everyone saying, man, I want to see this guy back in wrestling. And man, he would have fixed, personally, my opinion, he would have fixed WWE and what was wrong with it as long as they said, hey, Punk, you have all the creative control that you could do here. Go back to what you were doing before you left. That's what got people hooked, but that wasn't going to happen.
I think that wasn't going to happen because I think he rubbed people the wrong way there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In addition to rubbing people the wrong way, I think the people he had pushing him got him sour too. And that's Paul Heyman. Unfortunately, from him just constantly pushing CM Punk, constantly saying, this is the guy. You know, he could be your greatest attribute or he could be your worst detriment. And that's Paul Heyman to a point. And I'm sure Paul Heyman didn't mean to do that with CM Punk, but you know, one of those things is that Paul did a lot of was he would just constantly get in somebody's ear and say, like, this is the best person in the entire world. Like, he's doing so much, you know, great work and da 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 da, you know, just give him a chance and da-da. And you know, they'll do it just to shut him up, but at the same time they're just like, I'm done hearing it. But then when you piss off the boss's daughter and the boss's son-in-law, you know, that you're not making any friends anymore.
Not at all. No.
No, I agree. You know, in addition to the quotes that I would continue to like come off here and tell you about, just his body language. Did you notice that? Like, he came out, you know, he walked out and he just embraced it. You know what I mean? Like, he just looked like he was happy. He walked to nobody else. No other wrestler could have had a return where they had to cut the commercial, come back, and they'd still be as electric.
Nope.
As they were when they left. You know what I mean?
100% agree. Mikey was thinking the same thing.
And then him actually sitting down, cross-leg pose, just talking to everybody. Like, I want to tell – let me tell you a story.
Let me tell you a story.
And then, like, if that was, like you said, 45 to, like, the whole hour of the show, 45 minutes, the whole hour, I think people would be glued to their tubes watching it. You know what I mean?
I would have been.
They would have been like hanging on every single word. If he was not a professional wrestler, he would make one hell of a fucking murderer. You know what I mean? Like he's got the charisma. Like, yeah, I'll go with you. What do you like? You know, if you're starting a cult and was gonna do fucking mass suicide, everybody, like, yeah, well, let's listen to CM Punk and see.
Yeah, how does that he want to kill people today?
That Phil Brooks, I'll drink some of that Kool-Aid. You know,
right?
I saw him put the mouse poisoning in it. I'm still gonna drink it, man. He's just.
Because he's making me want to drink this exactly. Because he handed it to me. And he gave me an ice cream bar on top of it.
And I'm happy for that.
But to add on to what you were saying, Mikey, though, yeah. Is that when he walked out and just the roar of the crowd.
Right.
Like a legitimate fucking roar. Not NXT theme song. Hit the roar of the crowd. Shit it up. Take it down. But it was just like the legitimate just. Roar of that crowd. I wish I could have been there to experience it because I feel like it would have been 100 times more than when the Hardys returned at Mania when I was there.
Oh yeah.
But like that was loud. I can only imagine what that inside sounded like when he came out. But like to add on to what you said though about his body language, it's funny because I was also observing that. I was observing him, the music and everyone chanting him. Next thing you know, his music starts going, and then the crowd's loud as hell. He walks out, it's like 10 fucking times louder than it was before. Who would have thought that could happen? Yeah. And he's standing there, embracing it, looking around, soaking it all in. Tears coming down his eyes. He's just like, let's fucking go. And the crowd got even louder. It was just insane. From him just fucking taking his hoodie off, the crowd was just eating him up. He was in the palm of their hand.
Yeah.
Or they were the palm of his hands. It was just insane. Like, never watched a fucking promo or a return so much in my life where every time I watched it from the beginning, middle, and end, especially the beginning, I legit, Mikey, if you were right next to me, you would swear that I had like a disease or something. My hand, my arms, legs, just goosebumps. Everywhere.
Oh, you got them bumpy arms.
I literally shook every time like you have a chill because it was just like I couldn't get over how over – he was. It was insane. I'll never witness something like that ever again in wrestling. Never.
No, the only other emotion I could get from how excited I was from CM Punk is how dreaded I was when Undertaker's streak was over.
Right.
And, you know what I mean? And like, that's the only other thing that I can think of with wrestling, just with like emotions just on either side of the spectrum or just emotions of wrestling in general. Like, I really haven't had much, you know what I mean, where I'm, like, shocked or anything like that or, like, legitimately happy or legitimately surprised. So, like, you know, Undertaker's, like, losing streak thing was, like, whoo. And then CM Punk returning, like, you know, like, just Kramer, you know, I'm just doing Kramer right. For both of those.
It's been a Kramer.
Exactly. But yeah, absolutely. And then, like, his eyes, the way his whole, like, before he sat down in this pose, in his cross-leg pose, his whole upper body just seemed relaxed. He actually just like his eyes seemed like he was trying to take everything in as much as he could.
Right.
He just had like even if you were the best actor in the world, you can't be authentic unless it's real, and it was just real to him. You know,
it seemed like he never left.
Yeah, that too. It really did. It absolutely did. So, not to get off on that psychology, look on the character.
But I wanted to ask you a question, Mike. Sorry,
go ahead.
Here's a really good question for you because you're kind of an NXT fanboy, kind of. And it comes down to both NXT and AEW. You catch yourself watching NXT more because it's readily available for you.
Yeah, if AEW if they could have worked with some sort of streaming partner like Hulu, or if they just started putting their shit on Netflix, I could be watching all of AEW. So they have to work on that.
But now that CM Punk's back, are you going to catch yourself trying to watch
if I AEW? Can. Yeah, I really want to try to do it like legitimately so that they could get the numbers. You know what I mean? Because I'm not trying to be that type of guy. You know, I don't want to hurt one company's ratings or the other company's ratings. But like just to be like, you know, I was that one number that kind of maybe helped push up whatever. just to show like other companies that might be resting on their laurels to be like, okay, you know what? We got to stop making every weekly episode a repeat. You know, every live weekly episode a repeat, if that makes sense to you.
Right.
Because it's just for some wrestling companies, it seems like that's all they're doing. They're like, we're going to do this match again, and we're going to do this match again, and we're going to do this match. Oh, and there's a paper. Guess what? It's going to be that match announcement with the title.
Yeah. Ooh.
But yeah, I would. But, you know, I would also still try to catch NXT, too, because NXT doesn't do that. You know, NXT kind of, like, tries to make it different weekly because it seems like they throw two different rosters in on the same like, one week it's one roster. The next week it's another roster. Then the next week it's that first roster again. If that makes sense to you.
No, that's how it makes sense.
I think that's how they're trying to do NXT because they do have a lot of talent. And that kind of just makes it fresh because you're not going to really catch the fallout of, say, oh God, I can't think of anybody in NXT. You know, any of those guys.
Johnny Gargano.
Yeah, you're not going to see Johnny Gargano's, like, come up in next week, but you're going to see it the following week. But next week, something else is happening from previous, you know, the previous week. So
yeah, or Johnny Gargano gets hurt. Like,
exactly, you know? So it's just, you know, I do want to see what they do with CM Punk, because I think his first match is going to be the pay-per-view, right?
Yeah, which also goes in with this next quote that we had saved here, yeah. And that was, there's a hell of a lot of young talent that I wish I was surrounded by 10 years ago. Oh, they're there now. Why aren't you? Here I am. I died every time he said that. It was like, legitimately, like, he wasn't giving a promo. He was giving a speech. And it was like a presidential speech.
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't here 10 years ago. Well, here I am. Here I am. It was just like, I don't know. It made me laugh a little bit, but I was just like, yeah, here you are. You're here now. And here's my question for you, Mikey, to add on to that quote that he had said. Who do you think he wrestles after Darby Allin? I have an idea.
I personally, like, if they're going in that route of, you know, taking out Darby Allin, then I think they would go, he might go, Jesus. Wow. I know you have an idea, but the first thing that popped in my head, but I don't even know why, would be Cody Rhodes.
Okay, that's not who I had.
I know it's not who you had, and I don't know why that name just popped in my head.
It makes sense.
It does.
Yeah, it does.
Okay,
because he's like kind of like the face of AEW, but that's also because like he started off with the Bucks and all of them.
Yeah,
I personally think if he's helping the younger talent and who's over as much as Darby Allin, quote me if I'm wrong, Sammy Guevara.
Sammy Guevara. Now I'm thinking you're saying the young guys. Now I would love to see Jungle Boy Jack Perry.
Yeah,
them too.
That be cool. If he's looking to get guys over, and he could set up a great match. That's another thing too. Why us fans, yeah. Us wrestling fans, love and absolutely have fucking raging boners about him coming back is for the one reason that AEW is missing. They're missing the flagship guy. They're missing this guy who's going to put this company on his back, and he's going to take them like Kenny Omega has been, like Christian Cage, like how Chris Jericho has, like all these names that everyone's like, he's a face. Now, yeah, he's a WWE guy. But he was a Ring of Honor guy. He was an indie guy. He's a wrestler. He not one company. I don't think of WWE and I think of CM Punk. I think of Pepsi when I think of CM Punk. I think of just wrestling and a guy who was ahead of his time when it came to saying, fuck you guys. I'm going to say what I want when I want, whether it was a work or not, or if it was a shoot. But I think you're going to see him bring solidarity to that, to storylines, morale to the locker room of what, you know, he's going to come there and he's going to give them their money's worth.
Yeah. Sure. I don't think now, I mean, we could see in later weeks and months with CM Punk, with the company, you know, and we could be wrong. Cause you know,
they're wrong not? Before
we're straight white males, you know, we're the most hated of the, the demographic, right? Everybody hates straight white males. But I'm thinking that I don't think he's showing up just for a paycheck.
No way.
You know
no,
what I mean? Like no. that's you know, like you said it. He would be happy with $20. I know he's probably a long way from just living.
Oh, he's rich. Bucks.
But he's not like, and I'll be this guy. I will name the names. He's not like Mark Henry. He's not like Big Show. He's not like Christian. He's not like Matt Hardy. He's not like Jim Ross. He's not like Tony Schiavone. He's not like
Schiavone.
Whatever. you know, I just named a lot of big people there. If they want to come fight me, you know where I'm at. They're not just taking the paycheck. I mean, they're just taking the paycheck. He's not just taking the paycheck. CM Punk, pronouns, pal.
And if he's not, making the paycheck, and if he's making it, he's really putting that vibe out there that he's not, even if he might really only be getting a paycheck. But you're not going to take what you had going on in your life, put it all on hold, and come back to professional wrestling if you didn't love it.
Right. And how smart CM Punk is. Boy, we are like fucking stroking that guy's cock.
We really are.
But how smart CM Punk is, we're definitely not just in it for the just because you wanted to come back either. Like you came back because you have to have track set up of where you want to go.
Right.
You have to have this goal of where you eventually see yourself. So I think he came back because he knew that there was something he wanted to, somewhere he wanted to reach, some pinnacle he wanted to get to.
Right.
And they're not working around that. They're like, that's an excellent idea. Let's go in that direction.
Absolutely. Like he's got ideas. Yeah, exactly. Perfect.
Yep.
Blueprints.
That's it.
Blueprints, pal. he's got the whole story in his mind, how he wants to finish it. Mm-hmm. And Godspeed, Phil. But no, and that's another thing too. The reason why I think why we're stroking his cock and his ego here is because CM Punk is the moniker, in my opinion, of professional wrestler, badass, if you will, but also a guy that puts his money where his mouth is every single time he's out there.
Right.
A master of his craft. And like I said, just something that he left on a sour grape note.
Mm-hmm.
And because, I mean, WWE fucked him. So, yeah, he made all this money, but you got to give the guy some leeway here. He's a creative guy. You have to work with him and not listen to what the writers are saying. They have no idea what the fuck's going on.
Yeah, some of them don't even know what wrestling is, and they're getting hired.
Exactly. So
you
it's like it's just one of those things where, like, he saw the writing on the wall. He got out. And anyone who's listening to our podcast, if you don't know who CM Punk is, which I doubt it, but I implore you to go and watch these three things in this order. Watch WWE CM Punk's biography on the network, if it doesn't get taken off already. Watch that. Then watch the listen after that is completed. You have to do this all in one day. Watch his biography. Then listen to the Art of Wrestling podcast with Colt Cabana with CM Punk from a few years ago. And then after that, don't watch any of his UFC fights. Watch his return to AEW, and that will give you a clear picture as to what CM Punk is. Because the WWE biography it does have a good amount of his years prior to WWE in there. That'll give you just a statement of what exactly CM Punk went through, him explaining it all afterwards. I think that podcast, holy shit, is like 4 or 5 hours maybe. But watch that, and then watch his return to AEW. It's a great story, and it's a continued story that it's making me excited to watch wrestling again, and I don't think it's going to stop.
And just to add another quote, and he said it straight from the horse's mouth, I've got the time and I ain't going anywhere. Like, he started listing you know, I'm gonna, you know, I'm here on, you know, I'll be here every Friday night. I'll be here every Wednesday night. I'll be here every Saturday and or Sunday, depending, you know.
4 days, four times,
for the pay-per-views. So, like, he, you know, like, he said it, and he didn't say it just to get the pop. I think he legitimately said it because he wants to come back and he wants to wrestle. Like, that's the thing he knows he's good at, and that's the thing he knows he could bring joy to other people's lives with. And I think, like, you know, him saying that, like, he's not saying, it's not like, I don't want to say malarkey. It's not like a loaded statement where he's just saying it to say it.
Like
if he was a politician.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know.
How they blow a lot of hot air, yeah.
Exactly. But, like, the fact that he's saying it and, like, you know, I don't know. I feel like, yeah, he's going to be at AEW for a while. And I don't think he's going to get burned out. And I think they'll give him his leeway of, like, if he starts to get pissed off at the man, or you know, maybe you'll see if he does. I don't think that's his personality. I don't think his actual personality.
It's the cult of personality.
Exactly. I don't think his actual personality is he's going to be mad at the man all the time. I just think the man he was mad at the time
was a mech man. Yeah. Here's another thing, though, to add on to what you said about, you know, I got the time and I ain't going anywhere. He also said, and another thing to add on to what you're saying about how he just went out there, he wasn't blowing hot air, it was all from the heart. He said, I'm winging this. You know, we're all winging this. And that's a very important distinction. And that's exactly what he's been saying and how he's been in wrestling. He is one of us, quote unquote. He is one of us out there. And however we feel is what he speaks on. And it's crazy because that is kind of what me and you, and I can't speak for, you know, the Ben Wayne when he was usually on, but we hate those types of guys. Like, we hate they're listening to the audience too much. They're listening to the audience too much. CM Punk listens to the audience, but he doesn't listen to the jack-offs.
Right.
He listens to the guys like, yeah, these guys are as much of a fan as I am, and I'm in here performing. I'm doing it for those guys. And it just honestly just that's why a lot of the fans, if not every fan of CM Punk, was so pumped to see him come back.
Right. Right. I mean, I was like, and you were are. I mean, you're obviously you are because like you keep watching his return. Like,
oh, I'm going to watch it again. Probably two more times tonight. And I'm going to try to catch any background footage I can because that's the stuff I live for. I love watching that stuff. I love being behind the scenes. That's why, like, if I could, I would be a ring boy and not a Pat Patterson ring boy. Oh my God. I would be an AEW ring boy or something. Tony Khan ring boy? I would be. You know, it's funny that you say that, Mikey, too, is because I was watching his Q&A with Tony Khan. And there's a question I want to implore with you is Tony Khan in that interview with him sitting there answering questions. He was like a kid in a candy store, just sitting there smiling and like CM Punk's. He's like, oh, no, you go, no, please, like you speak. And it's just like, and he's just sitting there smiling, like, oh, no, please. But like, it was funny. I'm watching, like, man, Tony, if you're no Vince, that's a damn fact, but that's okay. I like Tony Khan anyway. I know a lot of people don't, but I like that he's a fan. And he's got the wallet and he's saying, I'm listening to everyone. We're doing this. He doesn't really put himself out there too much, but I wouldn't mind if he did, as long as he did it right. But like, he's just a fan, you could tell. And he is so excited. Like, it was like Eric Bischoff turning Hulk Hogan heel and getting that over as much as it did. This is like Tony Khan's moment of, I finally got CM Punk back to wrestling and I have him here on AEW. But here is my question I wanted to ask you as well, and I'm hoping that my short-term memory doesn't lose it, but I think I might have just I didn't lose it. Okay. So CM Punk back in AEW, you know he's getting a pretty penny, and you know everyone in the back, if they are like how they were back in the 90s and the early 2000s, where they're like, fuck this guy, he's back, he's taking my spot, yada, yada, yada. Do you think, if it's not even like that back there, do you think the higher-ups, Tony Khan, or even the wrestlers and performers themselves in the back are going to walk on eggshells around the guy?
Around Tony Khan or around CM Punk?
CM Punk.
You know, unfortunately to you, but fortunately for the rest of the sane universe, I think that it's more of a very, very friendly backstage. I don't think we've ever heard any bad
things. That's what he said. He said that in the Q&A as well. He's like, I'm here to have fun. And a lot of the guys back here are great, and but as much as, like I said, that's on camera.
So here's a guy right here, me being John Madden. Here's a guy right here,
John Madden. My God, you need to watch more football.
What?
That's a Chris Collinsworth quote, and everyone hates him.
Wait.
John Madden says, oh, boom, boom, Brett Favre, boom. Oh, Brett Favre's the greatest. Boom, boom, boom.
All right. No, I don't think so, Tim.
He was like the Pat Patterson of football. You got a bing, 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 and then give me a ring, boy.
Hey, that's interesting. But anyway, so I didn't really catch that Q&A. I'm going to have to catch that Q&A at the end. But assuming from, like you said, what Bobby Lashley didn't like from that style locker room, I bet you the locker rooms are very similar in the sense that a lot of the guys are there not just to get a paycheck, but also to entertain everybody that they can. You know, you got to think of them as con men, if you want to think about it, like con artists. They are, that's for both of them, both WWE and AEW. These guys are getting paid to do something they actually love that you couldn't explain this job to a caveman. It's not like fucking helping defuse a nuclear bomb or... They're not policemen, or they're not like doctors and surgeons. They're just actors.
Tread lightly there with the defusing a bomb, because entertainment has more so not sort of nowadays because with all the shit going on in the world. But back then, when WCW went to, what was it, North Korea,
right?
That kind of brought like, okay, here's Americans, yada, yada, yada. And granted, if you watch any of the Dark Side of the Ring type of stuff, there is a lot of entertainment wise within the United States of America and, you know, other areas of the world like Mexico and Puerto Rico, that they were a very integral part of, you know, diffusing any type of bad situation and bringing entertainment. But I digress. Sorry.
No, but now I don't think, you know, I don't think Hulk Hogan, you know, riding a bald eagle across this great nation is going to, you know, stop war.
They'll bomb us. They fucking hate us.
Yeah. But like, you know what I mean? I think, but getting back to, I guess, where I digressed from, I think everybody, I would personally think, until we get, personally, you and I get to go into wrestling locker rooms to see what they actually are, I honestly think it's just a bunch of people that are either trying to make a name for themselves on their own time with, like, Twitch or whatever, or they just want to do this and they want to not burn themselves out to the point where it turns into a Chris Benoit situation where they, you know what I mean? I think a lot of more wrestlers now have a family and they actually get to see them a little bit more than they would have if it was the early 2000s or the late 90s or something like that.
Right.
Especially now with the pandemic, you know, mm-hmm. but definitely now I think it's a different locker room than it was back in the 90s and like early 2000s.
Agreed.
So I think everybody would be happy and everybody would be wanting to learn from CM Punk. And I don't think there would be no ill will. Maybe Colt Cabana. Did you hear anything about that?
So it's funny because going back to one of his quotes, he says he's got a lot of talent back he wants to work with. And there's a lot of scores that he needs to settle. So my anticipation to add on to what I was saying before about his, you know, different matches he may have, I could see them setting something up after he's had matches with Darby Allin and a Sammy Guevara and hell, maybe even Jungle Boy, which I'd love to watch that actually. Punk could pull it off too, not to suck his dick, but I think that they'll have something along the lines where maybe CM Punk is working someone in the Dark Order and he comes across the point where he's face to face in the back with Colt Cabana. And because the internet wrestling community and all the smarks and marks know up the heat that they had and the lawsuits and whatnot, who knows? They may say, hey, do you guys feel comfortable doing this? And then they'll say,
like, I'm at Hardy Edge type thing. With
exactly.
Lee, right? Like, if you guys,
that was fun.
The hot angle.
Exactly. And who knows? Like, Colt be like, yeah, he cost me millions of dollars, but it is what it is. Yeah. You know, like,
he's making millions of dollars now. So
Yeah, no ill will. Maybe they shook hands already. Maybe we don't know that. Maybe Cole Cabana was also an integral part of getting him to AEW. You never know. We don't know what's happened. We don't have their cell phones.
I mean, like, the one thing, if Tony Khan or whoever's head of their talent relations like would speak, if they went to Colt and said, "Do you mind at least if we got CM Punk to show up?" And if CM Punk said, or if Dart, or if Colt Cabana said, "Yeah, like, you know, let him come in," then you know for a fact that you could say that he was an integral part of CM Punk coming back, because you at least asked somebody. Or did they even do that? Like, is it,
I doubt it.
Like, what do you think the locker room is there where the, you know, where it's like the higher ups wouldn't care who they brought in versus, oh my god, we got CM Punk? Like,
I think if they asked Colt Cabana if it was okay, I don't think they did that. But if they did, even if he said no, fuck that guy, I personally don't think that Colt Cabana in his smart mind, if it was a test or not, to ask him if it was okay to bring him in, because it's only going to make him more money because of how big CM Punk is.
Yeah, that's what it is. You bring CM Punk in, you get a lot more views in. Guess what? Everybody's paycheck's going to feel like
highest rated show in. I could be wrong. I could be wrong. Did you get the history?
Did you get the numbers?
I didn't get the numbers, but they said it was over a million of views just specifically that night watching that, which beforehand was half of that. Could be more. I didn't dig that deep, but
that's, I do know it was the highest rated pull up, but it had to have been, you know, they always talking high about how they kind of like, they would never really like, sometimes they neaked by getting to be NXT, but man, that alone would have, you know, if they put that up against Friday after SmackDown, which is fine, you know.
Let me do some quick
yeah, if you want to find that number real quick,
here's the views. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
So just CM Punk AEW, I typed in on YouTube. CM Punk has arrived in AEW from All Elite Wrestling. Is already up 4 days ago, Mikey. 4 days ago, 6.7 million views. The CM Punk speaks for the first time ever in AEW. 4.7 million views.
Yeah.
And just all this stuff like this, it's just the views.
Those YouTube views, are they for AEW on TNT?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they could be seeing that, using that in some sort of tally. But unfortunately, what they're going to be trying to look at is, you know, what Chris Jericho, like, quote-unquote, quotes about with the demo god and all that shit. They really want to share. And honestly, any company, I'm not even trying to defend AEW. I won't even try to defend WWE. It's such a different market now that Nielsen rating shit never worked back then, and it certainly doesn't work even now with everybody that has Hulu and catches it next day, or even they don't even to get into that type of area of expertise, they don't even get into the whole, like, we're going to watch that later. The families that will at least record it for Friday night, but then they don't catch it until Saturday. That's like that's like a hurt number for them. If people recorded it but didn't watch it, they want like live eyes on them on that time. But guess what? Everybody, you, me, Phil down the street, you know, Jacqueline across the road, nobody has the same television habits like they did when television first rolled out. So those numbers are bogus. It doesn't matter. You know, it's what pisses me off. If I want to talk, you know, if we go off on a little bit of tangent, if I found a nice show I like to watch on Fox, even like a sitcom, not even wrestling, and oh well, their ratings didn't do so good. Well, bullshit. You're not checking the numbers that you're watching off Hulu. You're not checking the numbers like you just did off of YouTube. If they got views on YouTube, no, it's just what you're watching on the hour. And guess what? People don't watch television that way anymore. I'm sorry to say that. But they don't, you know, and it's better that way.
The demographic between our age from, like, if we want to throw a number up there, 35 to 16, like, they're not watching TV. It's like the 49, 50 plus 80, like, people that are stuck at home, they don't do anything. They'll watch
like,
it.
The fucking, like, 6 months I had my internship at Disney, I didn't watch television. You know what I mean? Like, it's just things like that. When I had my internship, like, you know, you just find you don't need it. And like now, as I'm getting older, I want to just watch things that I know I'm going to enjoy. Like you go on YouTube, you look up all that shit. You know, you're not watching it on, I mean, you're watching it maybe on your television, but you're not watching, like, you know,
No, I'm not watching CNN. I'm not watching Fox News. I'm not watching ABC. The only time this man right here, Jay Glow, watches any type of television is from the beginning of September to the end of January, and that's football. That's all I take ESPN, time out of my time.
Baby, right?
And I have ESPN, and I have the app, and, you know, the rest, I don't.
But see, they don't even take that into consideration, Jay Glow. That's what I'm trying to say to everybody that's listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
Is the apps aren't as big of a deal as, like, oh, well, are they watching them on our cable network? It's like, that's dead.
Cable's dead.
It is. Like, you don't do that anymore. Like, I when I go to bed, I pop, you know, like old reruns of fucking Community. You know, I'll watch an old show or watch Cheers, Frasier, like that shit. I'm not watching any new shit now. Like, I don't, you know.
No,
like,
it's all garbage.
Yeah, you know. It's just, that's just like, so for you're going to see that. You might start hearing that with TNT going after AEW with not having the views. Bullshit, I bet you they have the views. Just like WWE on Fox and on USA. Bullshit, I bet you any money they have the views. You're not checking Peacock to add those numbers. You're not checking, you know, you're giving them a minus number for when, you know, if somebody is watching on USA and they're checking it the next day to watch it. Like, no, they're watching it. You just don't like the way it's being rolled out, when in reality there are a lot of views for every wrestling program right now. I guarantee it, because especially with CM Punk coming back, There had to have been a lot more than, say, a million. You know what I mean? You have to then, you'd have to fuck that up. I think you have to pump that number up. You know what I mean? Like,
no pun intended.
No, right.
I agree.
Just getting off on a little bit of it, like just doing the research and just knowing from like the media standards.
CM Punk coming back to wrestling is not only going to help AEW, but it's going to help WWE, because, you know, if we're in a perfect wrestling world that we've known for years, that this is SummerSlam was a piss poor attempt at any type of return. Becky Lynch and Brock Lesnar, very good, I guess, but like they're gonna have to step their shit up, because AEW is going to, if they do it right, it's gonna be head and shoulders above any other promotion that's out there right now.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And like, and, you know, I don't know if there's anything else we could add to that.
No,
you know, I felt bad that this is a CM Punk episode, but
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, but you know, this is the Summer of Punk. That's what the title of this episode is. We wanted to talk about CM Punk. We could do this again. You know what I mean? We could do another episode next week about CM Punk. Let us know in the comments, and you know, we'll either continue with something, or if we don't hear anything, we could talk about something else. But boy, yeah, I mean, I think we'll definitely talk about AEW that's happening tomorrow, right?
Wednesday. Yep, he'll be back.
So if he's there, I mean, if he's on there, we'll definitely discuss it next week. We'll discuss, you know, if he's on Friday as well, just to kind of keep everybody up in tow in that. You know, we might try to go a little AEW-centric now, just for a little bit, just to see what's going on. Maybe we'll take a break from WWE. If something good happens in WWE, we'll talk about it.
We could always talk about wrestling, because this is wrestling and whatever. And really, guys, whoever's listening to this, we really try to touch all bases.
Yeah.
It's just we're this more
is a historic,
so.
Yeah, this is a historical moment. We had to.
Really. We had, and we had to dedicate a whole episode to, because this is something that I don't think any of us thought was ever going to happen again.
I think
especially with, and until AEW came out, and, you know, oh, maybe. And TNA, I mean, he's not going there. But. Like, it's just one of those things now where it's like, okay, Punk's back. Anybody who's a wrestling fan or not a wrestling fan and says to themselves, you know what, I'm done doing this, I'm done doing that, I need something else, I want a new hobby. And if you want a new hobby to be a professional wrestling or sports entertainment fan, and you've been seeing blurbs on ESPN about WWE and WrestleMania and how big it was, and man, I remember watching that as a kid, and I really want to start getting back into it, because, you know, I listen to the Wrestling or Whatever podcast, and it's so great. And those guys are so spot on with everything they say, that, like, I want to get back into it. I implore you right now to start watching AEW. Watch it for everything they have, from the Britt Bakers to the CM Punks to the Kenny Omegas. Watch it and enjoy. Sit back and go in with a clean slate.
Yeah.
Don't think about wrestling back in the Attitude Era. You have to go into it thinking, okay, this is what it is now. And if you don't know who CM Punk is, really, do some research. You won't be disappointed. Watch it, learn it, love it. Man, we really sucked that man's dick tonight on this podcast, but you know what? It tasted good.
Yeah. If there's anything else you want to add, I could just end the show right now.
Oh, just one other thing to add. CM Punk, CM Punk, CM Punk, CM Punk. No. Okay. Always feel free. We always like to post our Facebook on here, wrestling and whatever on Facebook. Type that in. We're the first people that come up. We're slowly but surely coming up to 300 members on our little group that we have on there. Very nice, close, tight-knit group, which we'd like you guys all to join. Enjoying the conversations, the discussions, the funny memes that we share. It's like a big family on there, really, and a lot of people put their input on wrestling, and it's really good to get it out because there's a lot of people that, you know, you work with that don't talk about wrestling, and then you go to Facebook, which is a cancer in itself, but still you go on there and you say, what's a good spot that I could see on social media? And that is our page. So come take a look, bullshit with this. I'm always on there bullshitting with people and laughing and, you know, discussing about CM Punk coming back, what we think, what we could do next. Really pretty much what we do on this podcast. And this is like the Q&A really section on our Facebook page. But hit that up. Also, there is our Twitter, which I know myself and Mikey here are very heavy on. It's the wrestling or whatever, at WrestlingNWE on there.
Twitter's fun because we could definitely get back at people quick as well.
God, yeah.
And usually what we do is we post like, you know, blurbs of the show, things like that. So it's more of like an informed like section as well. Also we'll do memes and shit like that, but our Twitter number went up high really
it did really fast. And we're actually already, I'm not sure if I mentioned this in the last episode because I don't think we hit that mark yet, but we're over 2,000 some listeners already for our show, which we want to pat ourselves in the back a little bit, guys, because we're nobodies.
Yeah.
We're fucking pieces of shit.
Yeah.
we're fucking pond scum. Yeah. And people listen to us from all over the world.
That's awesome.
Even in parts of the country that don't have
really good internet.
Yeah, no. You would swear that I have their internet service when I use, you know, the Xbox or a computer.
I'll talk to you after a while. It's our internet's getting shit now.
Yeah.
And I thought it was just us, but if you're having issues too, then it's
everybody working from home and shit like that. It really is. It's the usage. But guys, we want to thank you. We've hit the 2,000 mark here, which we're really pumped about. We took the last 2 weeks off, but you know, it was like CM Punk said, is good timing. It was perfect timing, and it was bittersweet, and it was the perfect storm here to have this episode save up all of our wrestling knowledge and per se and how much we love it to talk about, you know, the man of the hour is the summer of Punk, and that being CM Punk coming back and really shaking the pillars of wrestling again. So I'm Jay Glow, and this here is Mikey Dangerously. And we're saying, look in my eyes, what do you see? It's the cult of bestiality.